Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. This is such a great call story from 1 Samuel this morning that we have, isn't it? This Old Testament reading. I love this story about Samuel's calling. In fact, this is one of those stories that's central to the overarching theme of what God is doing throughout all of Scripture. Now, maybe you don't know a lot about Samuel or don't remember. So to start, I want to give a little background to put a little context on our story today. Samuel was arguably one of the most influential prophets in all of Scripture. He came into his calling during a major shift in the life of God's people, Israel. And as Samuel grew into this calling, this prophetic calling, he eventually became the primary leader in all of Israel, the spiritual leader, the political leader, the moral leader. He was the voice that people looked to for the season in Israel. And then God eventually called Samuel to go and anoint the first king, King Saul. Before this, God's people didn't have a king. They were kind of on this equal playing field, and God would raise up leaders as needed to shepherd them. But overall, they didn't have that hierarchy of structure. But now things were changing, and God called Samuel to go and anoint this man Saul as king. So he does, and Saul becomes the first king. And for a very, very short time, it goes well. But it doesn't take long for Saul to become unfaithful and mess up big time, and God says, this isn't going to work out. Samuel, I'm going to have you go anoint someone else king, which you can imagine was probably not very well received by Saul, who was currently king, right? But that's a story for another day. So Samuel goes and anoints this young shepherd boy, David, to be king. So Samuel, through his prophetic office that God had called him to, effectively ushered in the monarchy, the start of God's kingdom, Israel, moving God's people from just being a people into becoming a kingdom. No small task. So that's sort of Samuel's future, what's coming down the pike for him. But in the story today, we see this kid living in the temple, and you may have wondered, what's happening there? Why is this boy living in the temple? Well, the book of 1 Samuel starts out with his mother. Hannah was her name. Hannah was praying in the temple. She couldn't have children. She thought she was barren, and this was breaking her heart. So she was praying and praying day after day, year after year, that God would provide for her and allow her to become a mother and have children. And lo and behold, God hears Hannah's prayer. But when she was praying for this, she had promised God, "Lord, if you would just answer my prayer and let me become a mother, then I promise that I will dedicate my first child to service and your work, to be a priest in the temple." And so, lo and behold, when God answers her prayer, she rejoices. She becomes a mother, and at a very young age then, she fulfills her promise, and she takes her son Samuel to go and live and work, to study and learn under Eli, the priest, in the temple. So that's where we are today when we start the story. At this time, Eli, the priest, is a very old man, we're told. And the story begins with him sleeping in this other room. It's late at night. Eli is this older gentleman sleeping in this other room. And for whatever reason, the boy Samuel is sleeping in the temple itself when he hears a voice. He hears God say his name, "Samuel, Samuel." And we see the story play out, right? This little boy pops up and he runs in and rouses this poor old Eli from his sound night sleep, saying, "Eli, Eli, you called me, I'm here. Wake up, wake up." And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back to bed, child." Now, any of you who have had small children have had this experience, right? My heart goes out to you if you're currently living in this experience. But it happens three times. Three times he goes back to bed. Three times he hears this voice, and he thinks it's Eli, and he runs into the room and rouses poor Eli. And finally, Eli says, "Aha." Now, I have to take a sidebar for a minute and say, there's part of me that wonders if Eli's aha moment was, if I tell him God's speaking, maybe he'll stay in bed, stop waking me up. But that's probably not what he thought, right? Because he thinks maybe there's something happening here. Maybe God's speaking to the child. So he gives him this advice, and then what do we see? The story plays out. He says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And all of a sudden, Samuel becomes this prophet and hears the voice of God. All this begs the question for me, does God still speak in our world today? Does God still speak to us in this way? There's these words at the opening of our reading today that really hit home for me sometimes. It says this, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." I don't know about you, but sometimes these words really resonate with me. Maybe in my own life, or as we look at the world around us and wonder why things are happening, where is God in all of this? The word of the Lord can feel very rare indeed. Sometimes we just long to hear God speak, to speak audibly to us. I mean, you look throughout scriptures and you see all the way through, in the beginning, Abraham hears the voice of God in Acts, and then we see Moses going and hearing God speak from a burning bush, and then Samuel in our story today, and Elijah hears the voice of God on the mountain, and then Jesus comes and speaks to people, the Son of God, right there in their midst. Over and over in scripture, we see God speaking aloud, and then today, do we really hear the voice of God in the same way? Have you ever heard God speak in such a way that you can really hear? If the answer to that question is yes, please come tell me your story later, because I would love to hear that. But for me, for most people I know, the answer is no. Now, there have been a couple of people in my life I've met that have said with some caution and some trepidation, but with confidence, yes, God actually spoke to me in this situation. But it's so rare, right? I think about those times in our lives when we just wish God would speak. Maybe those times when things seem to be falling apart and when we seem to be struggling and we just wish that God would say something to help us understand why and what's going on. Maybe it's been an illness for you or someone you love, or a death of someone dear to you. Maybe like Hannah, you've struggled to have children and asked God, why? Why? Or maybe you've just been at a significant crossroads in your life trying to figure out which way is the right way to go, which path is the right path to take, and you pray and pray and say, God, please, would you just speak a word to me? Would you say something? Say anything, just so I know that you're there and have some direction. I think about those times in my life when I've begged God for a word to help me understand, and it's met with what feels very much like silence. That silence can be so heavy. Prophet Amos talks about this silence and compares it to a famine, talking about a famine of God's word. He says this in chapter 8, "The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." For Amos, a famine of God's word is the worst kind of famine. So I ask again, does God still speak? Does God say things to us today? When I hear stories like this story of Samuel in Scripture, on the one hand, I get frustrated because I look at that and I think, well, God spoke so clearly then. Why can't God just do that now, right? Why can't God just show up and say, hey, Josh, I'm here. What do you want to ask? It doesn't happen that way. But then on the other hand, when I look at stories like this, maybe it's not all that different. I mean, if we look closely at what happened, Samuel heard this voice, but it was so faint, it was so quiet, that he assumed it was coming from a different room. He was confused and he didn't understand. He had to get up over and over again to run and try and figure out what this was. And it wasn't until after three times and the fourth time, Eli finally said, yeah, this is mysterious, what's going on? Maybe God is speaking? Tells us it was not so easy to hear. When we look at Abraham, he had to wait 100 years before God fulfilled that promise to him and Sarah that they would have their child. Moses had to climb a mountain and go way off the beaten path and go stand up here and listen to God speak from a burning bush far away from everything when he was an old man. So there's a question, does God speak? But maybe another question is, are we really listening? Maybe it's never been that easy to hear God. Are we really trying to hear God, or are our prayers just a lot more of us talking at times? But maybe another question on top of that is, Do we really want to hear God speak? Speak to us. Often I find myself praying for guidance or help, things like that, but it seems to me that biblically speaking, when God does show up and speak, it's usually not an easy word. Have you noticed that? In almost every instance in the Bible where God speaks to someone, clearly it seems that God calls them to dramatically and disruptively change their life and do something that's very hard. So I wonder, when we think about God speaking and calling us and raising up prophets in our world today, I think maybe God does, but maybe it's just not so easy. Especially this weekend, as we remember the life and work of Martin Luther King and celebrate that on Martin Luther King Day tomorrow, think about that man and his work certainly being a prophetic voice in our recent history, but not an easy road that he walked, right? When God led him down that path, it wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't like, this will be easy, come on. It was a challenge, disrupting his life, hard road to walk, but a worthy road. So the question, do we really want to hear God speak? What if God asks something of us that's really hard? What if God asks us to change our direction or our life or our perspective? What if the word that God speaks to us isn't that affirmation or answer we're looking for, but something entirely different? When I think about the times in my life when I've sensed through prayer or through friends' conversations that God is leading me towards something, saying, Josh, I want you to do this, especially those times when the thing that I sensed God wanted me to do didn't make a lot of sense or looked really hard, those times when I've said, okay, God, I think this is what you want, and I say yes, looking back, those have been the most rewarding and amazing experiences of my life. But then on the flip side, I think about those times where I've sensed God was saying, Josh, I want you to do this, and out of fear, I said, I don't think I can do that. I confess that I still wonder, still filled with some regret, wondering what would have happened if I said yes in that moment. Does God still speak? I think if we are Christians, if we are followers of Jesus, then we have the Holy Spirit filling us daily, then the answer is yes. So how do we hear God's voice is the question. How do we discern what's God's voice and what's our own thoughts? How do we discern what's God's voice speaking into our lives and just our friends' good advice? Well, I think this is the challenge of a life of discipleship, learning how to discern what God is saying and how to act on that. When I do discipling work with people, the very first thing that we do, it isn't going deeper into Bible study, although that's a part of it. The very first thing we do isn't talking about how to live our lives in different ways, although that might be part of the conversation. The very first thing we do is learning how to listen for God's movement in our lives. How to ask the question, what is God saying to me in this situation, and what am I going to do about it? And then processing that with other Christians to help us hear, to help us understand. So as we come to a close, I have a few questions for you to chew on this week ahead. Some questions to think about. Number one, are we seeking God's leadership and guidance in all areas of our life? In big decisions as well as small day-to-day things, are we listening for God to lead us in all of these things? Or has God sometimes become like this spiritually compartmentalized piece that we put on a shelf for part of the week and remember on the weekends? Are we really seeking God's leadership in all areas? That's number one. Number two, when we pray, are we really taking time to listen? Or are we just doing a lot more of the talking? I confess I really struggle with this. I'm good at saying prayers when I remember, but to still myself and say, God, what do you have a word for me today? A word for me this week, to really listen. Question number three, are you daily taking time in Scripture? As Lutherans, we believe that the Bible is God's living word, that God's Spirit moves through that to speak into our lives. So are we taking time daily to read Scripture and to listen with an open heart and with an open mind and say, God, what would you have for me in this today? So number four, question number four, maybe the most tricky for Lutherans, do you have other sisters and brothers in your life that you can process this with, that you can talk to about what you sense God is doing in your heart and in your life? I've discovered that it's really hard to discern God's voice alone. God becomes much more in focus, much more audible when we're in community. So are you in a small group or a Bible study, or do you have people that you pray with or trusted Christian friends you can talk to and say, I think I hear God leading me towards this. Can you help me discern? So those are some questions to ponder. And then my challenge for you for the week ahead is this. Listen. Listen for a word from the Lord for you, for your life, for this week, for this season. Take some time with the Bible or prayer with trusted friends to just really listen and see what God might have to say for you. And if you hear something, I'd love to hear that story. So you can text me or email me or tell me next week. It'd be exciting to hear how God is moving among the people here at Good Shepherd. God is still speaking. God has a word for you in your life. God is calling. So let's help one another to listen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, you come to us in so many ways, ways we often don't expect, often ways sometimes we maybe miss. God, help us to tune ourselves into your Spirit, to open our ears, our eyes, our minds to hear what you're saying to us. Help us to remember to listen and to move throughout our days and our weeks with a sense of your leadership, of your calling for our lives. God, send your Spirit. Help us to be what you've created us to be, your holy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.